1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." On the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces and he said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." And we've been taking some time as a congregation to look at the greatest things that Jesus preached, the greatest things that he taught us, the greatest things that he left us. And one of the most incredible things he left us is breaking bread. And so I just wanted to demystify it a little bit, and then we're going to do it together. And the first thing is, this is not an earned right through membership. This is not an earned right through belonging. This is not something that you qualify for because of who you are as a person. This is not something that you can ever attain to being worthy to take communion. And so I want to assure you this morning, if you're here and you're visiting, or you're not a member, or you're part of another church, or that for us, we don't see that there's any reason why you couldn't break bread with us this morning. The first thing is, everyone is qualified to be able to receive and remember the blood and the body that was broken for us. But with that, there is a weight, because this is in remembrance of the judgment that Jesus went under from the Father. There was a moment where he hung on the cross, where he said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Because of the sin that he carried. And so what I do want to say is, and we touched on this last week, we spoke about the private life. We spoke about that God is very invested in the part of you that nobody else knows about. That he doesn't want the parts and the shiny parts that everybody can see that look so nice. He wants all of you. But with that, and I have to, and I'm not trying to make it a heavy, scary thing, but I do want to say that there is some guidelines around when we break bread together. And the one is this: you can't come to receive and to commemorate and to celebrate and to remember his blood and his forgiveness if you have been unable to extend forgiveness. The Bible would call that taking it in an unholy manner. It's when you are holding someone else hostage, and you yourself are going and asking and reminding that you've been set free. And so I'd love to take a moment and just like ask you to weigh it up. Is there someone in your heart? Is there unforgiveness? I'm not talking and I'm not validating and I'm not trying to qualify that what this person has done to you is right in any way, shape or form. But what I am saying is, we didn't earn forgiveness in the first place either. But what is required as a believer is that we would forgive those who sinned against us. And so for me, that is the one qualification for us to take communion this morning, is that you don't come up here and celebrate God's forgiveness in your life if you've been unable to forgive others. If you don't know him and you're not sure and you're unsure, I want to tell you that Jesus was a reality. He was a man who came and he lived, and you're welcome, because it says you do this in remembrance that I'm coming back. He's coming back. And so the last thing that I wanted to frame about this is not something reserved for a Sunday morning. This is not something we only do when we come together. It's something we want to make sure we do when we come together. But I would love to encourage you as a believer to make breaking bread, to taking communion, as a part of your life all the time. That when you share a meal with anyone else, that you would afterwards break bread together. Before, that you would, "Man, we want to just break bread. We want to remember what Jesus has done for us." That this, in the early church in Acts, it says they devoted themselves to doing this. Why the heck would they do that? Because everything that happened, he was in the forefront of their mind. They remembered Jesus and everything. And when you have a lifestyle where you are consistently taking and breaking bread together, it prevents you from being able to harbor and carry offense and unforgiveness. It's like this incredible antidote that He gives us. That if you broke bread once a week, you couldn't go a week without forgiving everyone. Because you want to remember His forgiveness in your life. And so as a church, this is not just a ritual. This is a holy moment. And that's why I even asked the kids to go out today, partly because we don't have enough, because there's so many of you, which is awesome. But this is a holy moment. And so maybe if I can bring you into how I break bread. It's actually quite a traumatic experience for me at times, because whoever watched that movie, The Passion? I remember the day before I watched that, I was so nervous. I went to the movie house anxious for what I was going to see. Because I knew that what He went through, it's not just a movie on a screen. It was relevant to me. I knew that when they whipped Him like they did, where they tore His skin, when they put that crown of thorn on His head, that was for me. And I'm not a fan of watching that movie often, but I tell you what, every time I break bread, that's the thing in the forefront of my mind. Jesus, thank You for what You have saved me from. Thank You that You have given, You've done what I couldn't do. Thank You for Your blood that was poured out. We sometimes say it flippantly. When they say poured out, it's because of the whipping and the scorn that the blood was poured out. It's graphic, but it's reality. Thank You for Your body that they nailed to the cross. So what I want to ask is, we've got over there. It's kind of like 100, and hopefully we have enough. But so what I want to ask is, where we are right now, it's a holy moment. If we could do it with a bit of reverence in terms of not starting conversations or moving on, I wonder if where we are, if we could get up all together and you can just go and grab. And we're going to do this together as a church. You can stand with your family. You can stand with your wife. But I wonder if we can grab the communion. Just where you are, you can go get it. So it's at the back or at the front, in front of you. I would love to invite you and say, don't be okay with just not having soma. Weigh your heart up. If you don't feel like you can take, like, repent. Say, Lord, I need Your forgiveness. I can't expect what You've given if I can't give it. So while those are still grabbing, this is a You and Jesus moment. One of the things that we sometimes hear that's not true, it's not about the bread. It must be unleavened, it must be this, it must be that, or the wine, it must be wine, or it must be grape juice, or it must be port, or what. Those aren't the important parts. The barrier to entry was not you must have the right things. It's about the right attitude of the heart. And so even when you do this at home, it can be that, it can be this, it can be grape juice. The essence is remembering that, Lord, You've given us symbolic sacraments, symbolic replacements. It's not His body, which I wanted to clarify. There are some religions that believe His body becomes this, and if you don't eat it, and I'm saying that's not what we believe. This is to show us, this is a reminder. So often our worship is not very participation. We sing words, but this is one of the things, this and baptism, are one of the things where we're asked with our physical body, in who we are, to partake in something that He has commanded us to do. So that's why this is so important. And so as we take this cracker, I assume it looks like, Jesus would say this. And He sat with His disciples. He was setting the tone for all of us to follow. The joy is, the scripture is speaking about that as some even take communion, breaking of bread, that there is healing in the body and the blood of Jesus. That when he died for us, it says by his stripes we're healed. So even if you battle this morning with infirmity, if you have health problems this morning, even as we do this, if you have mental health problems this morning, if you have autoimmune problems this morning, and every time, not just this time, and every time we take this, we can have faith that because of what Jesus has done, we can be healed. And so this is remembrance of his body. And sometimes people say broken, but given is the better translation. This is a reminder of his body given for us. He went to the cross willingly. He might have said, Lord, take this cup from me, but he said, your will be done. Jesus willingly gave his life for every single one of us. And so as we take this, Jesus, we remember your body given for us. And in the same way he took the cup, and he said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people. Before that, there were all rules you had to keep to be considered God's people. If you were male, you had to be circumcised. If you were family, there was a certain way that you had to live. You had to be born of a certain people. Or you had to be invited in, or you had to have been conquered. But there was a prerequisite. You couldn't just be one of these people. But Jesus comes and he says, this cup, this is a remembrance of the new covenant, which is that you and I, who weren't born at the right time or place, who haven't done anything deserving of it, that for each and every one of us who believe in him, and we take this cup as a reminder of the covenant that he made with us, that when we bring our sin before him and we confess, you're forgiven. And so as we do this, this is remembrance of what Jesus signed, sealed, and delivered for us on that cross. That we can have a relationship with God. That we can have this new covenant where he will be our God, we will be his people. Not they will be his people, we will be his people. Oh Lord, the wonder I pray this morning that hope would arise again in people. I pray that healing would flow this morning. I pray that our eyes would be open and our hearts would be reminded, Lord, that even when we see tragedy around us, when we see the news this week, when we see people who've paid a price for the gospel, we don't mourn with eyes without hope. We have a hope. And that is that we're a part of your kingdom and you are the king and you are coming back for us. That at the end of this life marks the beginning of eternity. So Lord, I want to pray that this week, that the weight of the cross would be in the forefront of our mind. We would remember you, Jesus. That there would be moments of sorrow at the wretchedness of our hearts and moments of joy as what you've done for us. And so I thank you, Jesus, for this in your wonderful name. Thank you for your church, your bride, your body that you are building. And the gates of hell will not prevail. We thank you for this in your wonderful name. Amen.